That is a bid'ah. That is what bid'ah is about. أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا. As such, if a person, after Jummah Salat, invites other people, his brothers, sisters, etc., to his home to dine for lunch, subhanAllah, that is good. Every week he's doing it. He says, this thing looking really good, and I know there will be a lot of blessings. Then his emotions start to build up, and he's telling everybody that it is part of Islam that after Jummah, you should invite your brothers and sisters to dine. This is bid'ah. You used to do it before. That's generosity. That is kindness. Now you are understanding it that this is Islam. If you do not do it, it is bad. You will be criticized. Then this is bid'ah. You can read Quran anytime, isn't that so? You can read Quran anytime, night and day, morning and evening. But if you fix a specific day, and only on this day you read Quran, and you tell everybody that only on this day we should read, and on this day because there are so many virtues regarding it, and we should not try to miss it, and you are preaching it, and you are propagating it, and your belief about it is that it is deen, that's a bid'ah. That's a bid'ah. Someone has passed away. You can read Quran for your whole life, your entire life. Read it wholly, subhanAllah. Read it. But for you to leave everything and fix a specific day and believe that there is something connected to this day because of which we have to do it. We can't miss that day at all. And there is no asal in the Sharia like that. There is nothing which can be found about that. That is a bid'ah. But you read anytime you wish to. To affix and to make specific which the Sharia did not fix. You are making ziyadat fi deen. You are increasing in deen, which you do not have the permission to do. So important, your understanding of what you are doing will make something bid'ah. What is this to you? How do you look at it? What do you think it is? What you know? Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha, whosoever innovates and bring about new things in this religion of ours. So we see very important is this, that what you are doing, it must be considered in your mind to be Sharia and Islam. And it must be bringing something into the deen which does not belong there. Allama Abu Ishaq Shatibi, another Allama Shatibi, in his book Al-I'tisam, a very renowned scholar, he explains this same thing in a very beautiful manner. He says, Al-Muradu bil bid'ati. The bid'ah, what is meant by bid'ah? At-tariqatu fi deen. It is a part in deen. Mukhtari'atun, which is concocted and fabricated. It is a part in deen which has been fabricated and made up to dhahi sharia, which tends to resemble the sharia. Understand this? And this is what happens with bid'ah actions. Actions which people bring for their own selves and they remain firm to them, and the traces cannot be found in sharia. There is a kind of resemblance. Is that so? To dhahi sharia. It resembles the sharia. Yuqsadu bis-suluki alayha ma yuqsadu bit-tariqi sharia. Why does a person practice upon it? The maqsad and the objective of walking on this fabricated, innovated, and invented path, the objective is to achieve the same thing which normally is achieved by the Sharia rulings themselves. In other words, you have brought about something and you want to achieve from it what you would have achieved from performing farz salat, by fasting a fast, by giving the compulsory zakat. In other words, your level of understanding about the both things are the same. So because your understanding is like that, you have automatically made this new thing like a part of deen. Understand that? He says it resembles. Why do people practice upon it? The intention is that you want to walk on it in the same manner you are to walk in the deen. Allah made the salat compulsory 5 times a day. That is compulsory. You have no choice. Every day you have to perform it. Now you have invented something and you say we can't miss it out. We always have to do it. The same level of understanding is there in the mind. So yuqsaru bis-suluki alayha ma yuqsaru bit-tariqi sharia. So therefore, it is very, very important for us to understand that not any and anything will be called bid'ah. As we have quoted from the definitions and the explanations given by our renowned scholars, well accepted and well accepted by the Ummah, what does bid'ah refer to? But because of the fact that there is a semblance in the literal meaning and the technical meaning, in one way, that literally bid'ah means creating something new, bringing about something new. And the Sharia meaning is all about bringing something new in Sharia which doesn't have any source. So they are close. Because of the fact that they are close, scholars from the very beginning, centuries of Islam, even from among the Sahabas, in the Qurune Ula, the first generation, this will sometimes use the word bid'ah and imply a literal meaning, not the Sharia meaning. Understand that. They would use the word bid'ah, but in their minds and in their understanding by the word bid'ah, they will only refer that it's a new thing. It's good, but it's new. They will not use the word to refer to dhalala and guidance. They will use it in its literal term. And if you use a word in its literal term, it is not bad. As I said, literally, you can say, by the way we build masjid now is a bid'ah. That is true. Meaning that the pattern and the way we are doing it, it is not during as it was there. So it's a new way. But it is good. There is nothing bad about it. So therefore, in using the word bid'ah, implying its literal meaning, that is not bad. But if that is the case, you will have to say whether it is good or bad, as we'll explain later on. Okay? So what we are saying is that because of the fact that the literal and Sharia meaning, they are close in one way, scholars of the past, from among the Sahabas and the early scholars, these will sometimes use the word bid'ah and only refer to the concept of a new thing, whether it is good or bad. And it is in this context the statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala was used when he spoke about Taraweeh. What did Umar radiallahu ta'ala say? Umar radiallahu ta'ala came out during Khilafat. He saw the people in the entire masjid. Everyone has a group. One group here, one group there, one group there. Different groups. He says, this does not look good. It looks like disharmony and disunity. You do not like this one. You form your own group. Like how people are building masjid these days. You do not like this. You build your own thing there. Every corner there is a masjid. So you do not like this group. You say, oh, we have our own imam. Imam Sahib, you stand. We have our own hafiz. He says, this is not good. So he gathered all of them and he put them under the leadership of one Qari, Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu ta'ala, and the sahabi of the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he came out the other night and he saw Ubay leading all of them in the Taraweeh Salat. Looking at that, how beautiful it was. Subhanallah, one imam, all of them, such unity, such love, such harmony. He said, ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi. What a beautiful bid'ah is this. What a beautiful bid'ah is this. He used the word bid'ah. Because of that, people say, Umar says it's bid'ah, Taraweeh is bid'ah. What did Umar say bid'ah about? There are two things involved. There are two things involved. The concept of 20 rakats and the concept of putting everybody under one imam. Two things. What was Umar referring to? The Sharihin and commentators of hadith, they have stated that Umar radiallahu ta'ala referred to the concept of putting everybody under one imam. This is what he referred to. Because they were already performing salat before. Now he had gathered them, but he did not use this statement before. He gathered them now, and the way it was looking, he said, how beautiful bid'ah, what a good bid'ah is this. What was Umar referring to when he used the word bid'ah? What was Umar referring to? Umar radiallahu ta'ala was referring to the act of a new thing. Yani, this thing of one imam leading everybody in salat did not exist during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is now coming, so it's a new thing. So it's a new thing, but a good new thing. So he said, ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi, yani, what a good new thing is this. Because bid'ah means a new thing. What a good new thing is this. Now, it is totally wrong for anyone by the usage of the word bid'ah by Umar to think that that is dhalalat. If we are saying something is bid'ah, you know what we are really saying? That is misguidance. And if anyone has to say that this is misguidance, then, or that is misguidance, that person really has to have a good dalil from Allah to say that is misguidance. Allah is the only one via his Nabi to tell us what is hidayat and what is dhalalat. If you look at a thing, by you saying this is bid'ah, the Prophet said, "Kullu sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu bid'atin dhalala." You are actually saying this is misguidance. And then about this bid'ah, the Prophet is saying, "Wa kullu dhalalatin fi an-nar," and every misguidance is Jahannam. So you are actually telling the person you're going to go to Jahannam. When you use the word for a person to condemn his action, and you decide to use the word bid'ah for that action, you are actually indirectly telling the person this is misguidance what you are doing. So if, as people say, some people, that look, this is bid'ah, we can't do that because Umar himself is saying bid'ah, the reason you wouldn't do it is because you think the usage of the word bid'ah refers to misguidance. So what you are really trying to say is what Umar is saying, what a good misguidance is this. Can there be a good misguidance? Now, Subhanallah, inna lillah. How can there be a good misguidance? Understand what I'm saying? When we use the word bid'ah with respect to its shari'i meaning, it means misguidance. It is condemned. So anytime the word bid'ah is used in its shari'i meaning, you are actually telling a person this is misguidance. So translating bid'ah, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, to be misguidance, you are saying what Umar said, ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi, what a good misguidance is this. Na'uzubillah. The other question we will ask, do you know who was Umar? Subhanallah. Do you know the virtue of Umar radiallahu ta'ala? Umar was from among the Ashara Mubashara, promised Jannat while he was still alive on the face of the earth. Hadith in Tirmizi and any book, other books. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, authentic hadith, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. If there is to be a Nabi after me, it will be Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala. No one else. Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get his revelation, as we mentioned last time, that according to the opinion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, revelation will be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Bukhari has mentioned a few of these things. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the concept of hijab for women, the non-performance of salat by the munafiq or even going by their graves. Subhanallah, many different things. The prisons of war at Badr and many muwafiqati Umar. This is Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Beloved to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala. On one hand, Umar, with such a great status, he was known as Al-Faruq, the criterion between haq and batil, the criterion between righteousness and unrighteousness, the criterion between truth and falsehood. He was Al-Faruq. Abu Bakr was As-Siddiq. But the person to put things in the proper perspective was the person called Umar radiallahu ta'ala. They will hear his name, they will shiver and tremble to pieces like leaves, the unbelievers. They hear Umar is coming and that's the end. The fear and the rob which Allah has instilled in the hearts of people for Umar radiallahu ta'ala. You know about that Umar which is so great. That Umar, that the way he used to think, Allah revealed the ayat. That Umar was so mahbub and beloved. He, on one hand, is so much respected, so beloved to Allah and his Rasul, a person of so much virtues. On the other hand, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Kullu bid'atin dhalala." He heard that. He knew that. All the Sahabas knew that. He also knew very well the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha laysa minhu fahuwa raddun." Whosoever brings about in this deen of ours things which are not there, it is rejected. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, with this knowledge of the things the Rasul disliked, on the other hand, He's been told, oh Umar, if there is to be a Nabi, it will be you. It will be you. Do you think in our proper senses we can imagine that a person like Umar will bring about a bid'ah dhalala in the deen? Na'uzu billah, may Allah forbid. May Allah forbid. Do you think a person like Umar radiallahu ta'ala will do such an injustice to Islam? Never. Never. If, besides him, none of the other Sahabas. Who were the Sahabas? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the Sahabas to you and I. So we will not point our fingers like how we are pointing our fingers. Umar did this and Umar do that and Umar, na'uza billah. Which direction we are going in? Allah says in the Quran, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ Subhanallah. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ The forerunners of Islam. The first to embrace Islam, Umar was among them. From the Muhajir and the Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ And those who follow them in goodness from the Tabi'een, from the Tabi'een. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنُهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ The statement and the stamp and the seal of Allah, I am pleased with them, subhanallah. Why are you questioning their actions? Who are you coming 1400 years afterwards to point your finger? Allah is saying He's pleased with them. They are pleased with Allah. وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا Allah says, I have prepared for them such gardens of paradise. Rivers are flowing beneath them. They will remain in Jannat forever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمِ That is a great success. Allah tells them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ Indeed, indeed, they were true and righteous believers. Allah put them to the test. Allah put the ikhtibar, an imtihan, to test them with hunger, with starvation, the loss of lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ بِالتَّقْوَى Allah tested them from their hearts, piety. Allah tested them in the burning desert sun, the burning heat of the desert, the scorching sun, and the big huge stones placed upon them with chains tied on their neck, being separated in two, their children being beheaded, their wives being beheaded. This was the test. Allah says, "Bas, don't say anything about them. Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. They are indeed the righteous believers." Abba, ham kya kehte hai, what we say, Umar committed a bid'ah. Understand that. Also the nara and the slogan, two azan for Jummah is a bid'ah. It's a bid'ah. If we understand what is sunnah, this is why I always say, many of our brothers lack ilm and knowledge. That's the problem. Jahalat, jahalat, jahalat. Jahalat is darkness. When you are in darkness, you cannot even see the light because you have no light. Jahalat is darkness. Zulmat. During the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, yes, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be one adhan. The people lived close by. They will come from the morning and wait for Jummah. They will come after Maghrib and wait for Isha. Half of the night they are passing, they are waiting for Isha. They are not like people who will be busy and they are waiting for something to attend, and by the time they reach, their farz is finished. When Islam started to reach far and wide, when people started to become engrossed in their work, in their markets, in their fields, etc., here and there, and Uthman saw that when you call that one adhan, by the time they reach Khutbah and Jummah is finished, he, out of goodness, let's put it here, if we have one adhan, which is before the khatib, by the time you hear it outside there and you reach here, Khutbah is finished. Every Friday you do not have any Khutbah, that's a sin, that's a grave sin. Uthman, out of goodness, for the Ummah, instituted in the midst of the Sahabas, the second Adhan. Who was Uthman? Uthman was so great in the sight of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known as Uthman Zun Nurain. Uthman, the owner of two lights. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone would have looked towards the daughter of the Rasul to be their wife. Great status, isn't that so? My wife is the daughter of the Rasul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Ali and Uthman, subhanallah. Uthman married one of his daughters. When she passed away, Uthman had such a high status with the Rasul, he gave the other daughter to Uthman. And then he said, when the other one passed away, he said, if I had many more daughters and they die one by one, I will give all of them to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And that's the status of Uthman. Whatever need was felt, Uthman will fulfill that need. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once made an i'lan. There is no water for the Muslims. The Jews own the well. The Muslims cannot get water. May Allah bless the one who will purchase that well so that a Muslim will get water. Uthman went and purchased the well. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell the Muslims to go. I have purchased the well. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going on his expedition. He is asking for help. The Sahabas, they were poor. They only had that amount. Uthman started to bring gold coins and silver coins, and he poured it in front of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his hands. He was playing with the coins, and he was shaking his head. He says, "Wajabat li Uthman jal jannatu." He says, "Today jannat has become wajib upon Uthman. He may do whatever he wishes. Today jannat is wajib upon Uthman. Uthman is from Ashara Mubashara." Uthman, that is Uthman. Uthman saw the need for the benefit of you and I today who are reaping the benefit of that azan that is called first. We can now prepare and say by the azan is called. He did it fi mahdari sahaba, min kibarihim, the great scholars of the sahabas, he did it. No one said anything. Bas, bidat ho gaya, that is a bidah. People, they leave it out today. They leave it out today. Say, that is bidah. Are you better than Uthman? Na'uzu billah. Can you even walk in the shadow of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala? And let's say, if Umar did it, and you think it's a bid'ah, and if Uthman did it, and you think it's a bid'ah, what about all the sahabas who were there? Why did they not speak against them? Did they do khiyanat? What, did they betray the trust in the deen of Allah by saying something that is wrong, and they allowed it to happen? That is an allegation to say Umar brought misguidance in the deen. It's an allegation to say Uthman brought misguidance in the deen. And it is an allegation against the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum to say that those pious beings, they brought misguidance in the deen. People who Allah is saying, I am pleased with them. What is wrong with you? Why can't you be pleased with them? The problem is there is corruption and mischief in our hearts. We cannot see truth as truth. Falsehood as falsehood. So it's mixed up. What is really falsehood, we see it as truth. And the truth, we are seeing it as falsehood. That is the problem. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala did that. So therefore, what we are saying is that when the Sahabas, like Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he used ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi, what a good bid'ah, he could not refer to anything except the translation of a new thing. What a good new thing is for anyone to make that allegation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, be careful of pointing fingers on mine Sahabas. You are committing a grave mistake. Don't ever do that. To point your fingers or use your tongue against any one Sahabi, it is a grave sin, totally haram in Islam. Not permissible at all. So this is why, with respect to its literal implication, anyone can do anything. Say, but this is a real good new thing, you know. Translate that same thing in Arabic. What word will you use? Bid'ah. This is a good new thing. So therefore, we have to understand very well that the meaning that Umar gave, very important thing, by the usage of the word bid'ah, Umar understood very well what did the Prophet mean when he said kullu bid'atin dhalala. He understood that very well. He lived with the Rasul and he knew very well that this that I am doing, it's not against the words and the pleasure and the consent and the likeness of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew that very well. Very, very important. Remember the definition that I gave before? Allama Shatibi said, likawnihi, the reason that the actions and the words of the Sahabas will be called sunnah, likawnihim ittiba'an, likawnihi ittiba'an li sunnatin thabatat indahum, because they had some origin, they had some dalil to show that what they were doing, it is not against the teachings of Islam. They did it. They did it. So therefore, when we understand that yes, people can also refer to its literal meaning, Its literal meaning, then you and I have to understand, as what the scholars have done, whoever takes the literal meaning, then they have given a definition, a division of bid'ah. Because if bid'ah simply means, literally, any new thing, it means it could be a good new thing or a bad new thing. Isn't that so? Both ways. This is why. It is with respect to its literal definition. Imam Shafi alayhi rahma, the great imam, the great scholar, muhaddith, scholar of hadith and mujtahid, he says, al-bid'atu bid'atani. If we take, understand this, if we use the literal meaning of bid'ah, then it will have a division. If we use the Sharia meaning, that bid'ah means such a thing which has no trace, origin, dalil in Sharia, then there is no division. You understand that? Anytime you use the word bid'ah to mean it's Sharia meaning, you are actually saying this is misguidance, dalala. It is in that context. But when you use the word literally bid'ah to mean any new thing, then it does not necessarily mean that any new thing is misguidance. Okay? As we have given examples. So it is with respect to its literal meaning. Imam Shafi alayhi rahma says, al-bid'atu bid'atani. Bid'ah, they are of two types. They are of two types with respect to its literal meaning. He says, mahmudatun wa madhmumatun. A mahmuda, a bid'ah which is liked and accepted and good, and a bid'ah which is bad. He says, fama wafaqa sunnah. Whatever conforms to the sunnah, فَهُوَ مَحْمُودٌ, then it is good. It is good. If you are doing an action that conforms to any teaching of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is good. وَمَا خَالَفَهَا, and whatever opposes the sunnah, فَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ, then it is مَذْمُوم, it is bad. It is bad. And it is because of the same literal definition, the great scholar, subhanallah, the great scholar Allama Izzuddin ibn Abdus Salam, many of us, you know, who have studied will know his name, a very great name in the field of the ulum al-islamiyah, Islamic sciences and knowledge. He, based on the literal definition of bid'ah, he says bid'ah are of five types: wajib, haram, mandub, makruh, and mubah. This is what bid'ah is, of five types. So what we are seeing, my dear respected brothers and elders, my dear ulama ikram, is that based on how the word is used, then you will know what is being implied through the usage of the word. Sometime a scholar might say this is bid'ah, but in his mind, he is simply using the literal meaning of bid'ah. And you take it to mean dhalala, na'udhu billah. And this is what, subhanAllah, this is what the muhaddiseen have used in their books. I have read people who have written things about Taraweeh. And they are quoting Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani, Allama so and so and Allama so and so. And they are saying, this is bid'ah. Which bid'ah? The same bid'ah that Umar said was bid'ah is the same word they are transcribing. They use it to mean literal, it's a new thing. You use it to mean dalalat, na'uzabillah. Ajib. So therefore, we have to understand that whatever people are saying about bid'ah, whatever people are saying about bid'ah, we have to understand, is it really a bid'ah or not? Can we find traces for it? Can we find origin for it? If we can find origin for it, then it is not a bid'ah according to all the statements and definitions we have quoted. Huh? If you cannot find any trace for it, and people consider it to be part of deen, and they are holding on to it as if it is deen, then that is bid'ah madhmuma or bid'ah dhalalah. It is wrong to say misguidance for a thing when it is not a misguidance. So we have to be very, very, very careful. There are many things that are in our lives, and there are many things that are creating fitness. Dua after salah. TK. Dua after salah. Every big shura, lot of noise. Bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. You look at a person who is saying bid'ah, clean shave. He's committing a haram thing. But bid'ah, bid'ah. He's committing a haram thing. He's not conscious. This is why, you know, subhanAllah, a very beautiful statement is made from our Kabir. They say, whosoever often looks at the faults of others, he's blind to his own faults.
You can't see what you are doing wrong. You're always looking at what other people are doing. This is why you don't even make your Islah. A person doesn't correct himself. He's always worried about other people. We understand from that. And for in order for a thing to be considered bid'ah, you have to consider it part of deen. People make dua. What is dua? Dua finds its origin in many places. A simple way to answer that question is, tell me, brother, is dua after salah jais or not jais? Is it permissible or not permissible? The law of the Sharia is that whenever you cannot find any dalilun qat'iyun, firm dalil, to consider something impermissible, you have no choice except to say permissible. This is why the fuqaha will use the word makruh. Yes, it is not good. It is not proper. But you cannot find a dalil to prove it is haram. The most you can go by, it is makruh. Because they are accountable to Allah for saying something haram when it's not evident in the Sharia. People use haram left and right. Haram. Jeep, what is haram? You have a dalil? What's the proof in Sharia? You have to speak with dalil and proof. So similarly, is it jais or not? A few things we have. Did the Quran condemn dua? One. Did the hadith condemn dua? No. Did the Quran or the hadith give you any time where you can make dua and when you cannot make dua? No. It has left dua open. You can make dua anytime you want. In fact, Allah makes an open announcement. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call on me. When? Anytime. Subhanallah. Anytime. Udu'uni. Call on me. Astajib lakum. I will answer and respond to your call. Allah did not fix a time. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not fix a time. So therefore, how can we arrive that action that is being done there, it is against the Quran and the Sunnah? If the Rasul say you cannot do it, then we have it. Okay? People go to the thing that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do it. Okay? If the Rasul did not do it, are we coming down to the argument that everything the Rasul did not do, it means we cannot do it? We cannot do it? The Rasul never used loudspeaker for salat, but the need was felt to let the people hear. What did he use? Mukabbirin. After three saf, somebody is saying Allahu Akbar. We can do the same thing, isn't that so? People do it. So what is this now? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave two Arabic khutbah on the day of Jummah, bas khatam khalas. People give English and they also add, we are just using a counteractive argument, we call it. This is not bidah. Wasn't the need felt to educate the people? Yes. But from two, you are moving it to three. You are moving it to three. There are many things the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do, but it is permissible. Many things. For you and I to come down to that conclusion that whatever the Rasul didn't do, we can do it, then we are in a big problem. There are many things. The azan. Did the azan come through the Rasul? No. The azan. Did it come through the Rasul? No. Did it come from Allah? No. One Sahabi had a dream. He saw a dream. The Rasul said, okay, call the azan. That's a good dream. That's how azan was instituted. So if we use that mentality, then we'll have to reject it and say, listen, you see, this thing, the Rasul, it didn't come from him. We are saying, yes, that it's approval. But remember, the argument is what the Rasul did not do, we cannot do it. So one way of looking at it is it jais or not? Is it jais? It is permissible. There is nothing in the deen to condemn it. There is nothing in the deen to say that it is haram. No one can find any dalil except the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do it. But there are many things we do which the Rasul didn't do it. Isn't that so? Okay, you read your salat in the morning, in tahajjud, you raise your hands for dua. Did the Rasul do that? Okay. Anytime during the day you perform salat and after your sunnat or nafil, you raise your hands and make dua. Okay. Did the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam do that? And many of these people who make that accusation, you see them in functions, they raise their hands. Tell me, did the Rasul raise his hand in a function like that? No. So therefore, it is mere foolishness to use blanket statement and make mischief. So the question is, first, is it jais or not jais? Is it permissible or not?
If you say it is not permissible, you have to have a strong dalil to show it is haram, but we cannot do it. Bas, cut up. And if it is jais and permissible, then how can you call a permissible action misguidance? How can you do that? You can't do that. If it's permissible, it's guidance. The other thing, it is this, that du'as are accepted anytime by Allah. Du'as can be made anytime. Open concession, open allowance. Ud'uni astajib lakum. TK? After salat, the imam chooses to make dua. It's a very beautiful time. Make dua, ask Allah to bless us. What is this imam saying? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. That's misguidance. Oh Allah, give us good in this world. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka. Oh Allah, what we have done, please accept it. Can you say that is misguidance? What is the imam sahab saying? It is evident from the sahabas that sometimes some will make dua and the others will say ameen, fa huwa aqrabu ila al-ijaba. It is closer to being accepted when you say something and a person say, oh Allah, let it be so. Allahumma stajib lana. Oh Allah, accept this. It is closer to being accepted. So sahabas will come to each other. They say, let's make dua. I will make dua. You will say ameen. You will make dua. I will say ameen. It is closer, Allah. Two is better than one. Allah will accept it. So the imam makes dua. You want to make dua, you raise your hands. The imam is making dua. The imam never told you it's compulsory. The imam never told you it's a sunnah of the Rasul. The imam never told you if you do not do it, you're going to get sin. The imam never told you that if you do not do it, you are non-Muslim. Huh? He never told you that. You, out of the goodness in your heart, wish to raise your hand and make what? Dua. You singing? You are making dua. You are making dua. So if it is done because of a good act, bin ghairi luzumin, without it becoming farz. Everyone understands, but this is not part of salat. Everyone understands this is not an act of ibadat which we must do after salat. But after salat, you have now fulfilled the command of Allah. It is closer that your dua be accepted now than after time because you have fulfilled a duty towards Allah. So it's like, oh Allah, I have done this, please, I am asking for this now. That's the reality. So therefore, if an individual chooses to raise his dua and ask Allah, that is between him and Allah. If Allah chooses to accept his dua and give him, na'uzubillah, you would be in grave wrong to have called this misguidance when Allah had accepted his dua. Allah will say, "Are baya kya hua? What's wrong with you? This person is begging from me and you are telling him he's misguided? He is asking me. Is he asking you? He's asking you, can run. He is asking me and you are telling him he is misguided. You are telling him he is misguided. Na'uzubillah. If we say you must do it. If we say that if you do not do it, you will get sin. If even we say it is a sunnah of the Rasul, then we are totally wrong and then it will be a bid'ah. Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha, bringing things into deen. Brothers, by making dua, did anyone bring anything into deen? You are accustomed making dua night and day, every time. So people have changed the course of it. It's something which is acceptable. You can make dua anytime. The imam makes dua. You hear it. You want to join the imam. You want to make a collective dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Salatul Istisqa, he made dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life was filled with dua from the time he got up to the time he went to sleep. Subhanallah. Duas upon duas. So therefore, for people to do that, but besides that, people who normally speak like this, they are the ones who will get up immediately and walk out. But what is the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? To recite Subhanallah 33 times, to recite Alhamdulillah 33 times, to recite Allahu Akbar 34 times. That was the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, TK, this is bid'ah, but why don't you do the sunnah? Why don't you do the sunnah? If this is khilaf sunnah, then you do the sunnah, but it is an attitude of rebelliousness. the get up and walk out so everyone will see. Na'uzubillah. This is a ajib attitude. Strange attitude. So therefore, there are many things, some which we have discussed last week, and each and everything is a whole topic by itself. So understand what I'm saying. We are not saying, no one is saying dua after salat, asking, you can read dua anytime, you can make dua anytime. No one has ever said it is compulsory. No one has ever said it is even sunnah. No one is claiming the Rasul used to do it. So if the Rasul didn't do it, but you have a need and you are asking Allah, is that misguidance? Is that misguidance? What misguidance is there? So we have to have the correct understanding of these things, my dear respected brothers and elders. We have to know the line. We have to know what falls in and what falls out. So that we will not begin to do things to put ourselves in trouble and let our tongues roll in every direction, condemning and criticizing, and we make the right things wrong and the wrong things right. Na'uzubillah. It's a very dangerous pattern. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and the reality. And for those of us who have a little bit of knowledge, use the knowledge to look into matters. For those of us who do not know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the cure for that illness of not knowing is in su'al, in asking. Simply ask. Don't go around creating fitna and mischief. Don't put your own opinion in the deen if you have no knowledge. Take from those people who have given it to us. Take from the books. Understand it well. But do not fall into that trap. So that you now, after falling into that trap, you are calling guided things misguidance. You are calling guided things misguidance. Because every time you use the word bid'ah, that is what you mean. Kullu bid'atin dalalah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ilm. May He increase us in ilm and amal and taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to go in the right direction of action. And also, sometimes people are in the midst of so many things. And this fitna has become something that people call others who do not do what they do, unbelievers. They call them kafir. Because you are what? Making a dua. They call you mushrik. They call you kafir. You are following a madhab. They call you mushrik. Na'uzubillah. Did Allah give you a license to do that? Huh? Who is mushrik? Allah mentioned that in the Quran already. Who is kafir? Allah already mentioned that. If these qualities are to be found in anyone, alhamdulillah. But to call a Muslim a kafir, to call him a mushrik, that is exactly what is going on now. We can say about our Trinidad. We do not know about a way. But yes, that is going on now. We have to be careful of that. We have to be careful and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always guide us on the straight path and keep us on the path which He loves and the path which, you know, He has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.